Today, we have two very special guests on our program, introducing Lem and Lime.
Hello.
For Starry Lemon Lime Soda.
Thanks for having us.
What is Starry Lemon Lime Soda?
It's a crisp, clear burst of lemon lime flavor, and it's caffeine-free.
Between us, one of you must be a little more important to Starry than the other. Who is it?
We're both important.
So we could just as easily be Starry Lime Lemon Soda.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Oh, I like it.
So you saying hip-hop could be hop-hip?
Works for me.
Starry Lemon Lime Soda. Starry hits different.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Our pod squad are with us to separate the good from the rubbish podcasts. And today we're chatting about, against all odds, Chilean mine collapse.
Suddenly, a dull boom resounds off the walls. It sounds like a demolition charge has gone off. But there's no dynamiting set for today. Has something somewhere in the mine collapsed? Before he can decide what to do next, an air pressure wave plunges through the mine, an effect the miners call the piston. It presses painfully against Azura's ears. His head feels like it's a balloon about to pop. Something massive must have fallen in the mine, blasting air down the tunnels with a pummeling force. Urzua grits his teeth against the pain, then runs up to Sepulveda in the front loader's cab. Quick! To the surface! From up the ramp, he sees lights heading towards them, a white Toyota pickup truck. It skids to a stop next to them. He rolls down his window and shouts, "Get in! The mine is collapsing!"
Yeah, so that's just a clip of Against All Odds, Chilean Mine Collapse. And our pod squad this week, editor of rollercoaster.ie, Sarah Jane Tobin, and our own News Talk's Laura Donnelly, both with me.
Hi.
To tell me what they thought of it. How are we doing? All good?
Good.
How, well, explain, I suppose, the premise of this podcast, Sarah Jane, to listeners.
So basically, people may remember it. I was working in news at the time. Mm. And when I sat down to listen to this podcast, it brought me right back. And it was such an amazing, amazing story. Basically,
it's very recent.
Very recent in 2010. In August 2010, there was a massive rockfall, shall we say, in a 120-year-old mine in San Jose in Chile. And 33 members of the mining team were stuck underground for 69 days. And initially, they didn't know whether the men had survived. This particular podcast brings us underground with the miners as they're trying to figure out, like, is there an escape route? It seems that all the corridors have collapsed around them. There's slates of rock everywhere. They're completely trapped in, and the only way that the upper ground could get them out was to drill 2,200 feet down into the mine and to try and bring the men back up that way. But of course, that's not straightforward. Yeah.
You're obviously, Laura, in the newsroom as well. So, like, it's a story I'm sure you too were aware of. Maybe not so much the podcast, but you'd have some memory, I'm sure, of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think everyone would remember like watching that happen on TV. Billions of people tuned into that. And what I liked about the podcast is that you hear both sides of it. You hear the story of the men trapped and what they're going through. And then you also hear the story of the people who are tasked with rescuing them. So, like, the guy who's the head of the rescue operation, the minister is there, the people who come in and out delivering the drills and all that kind of stuff. So you're hearing like how you're obviously your main concern would be with the people who are trapped, but like what they're going to eat, how they're going to survive, stuff like that. But then to also hear like what the others are going through trying to get to them.
The bit I found kind of, now look, right, I'm finished two of the episodes being straight up about it, right?
I know,
busy week, but I am enjoying it, okay? Yeah. Like, I find it's one of these podcasts that you really need to set time aside. They're an hour long episodes anyway, the two I've listened to start with. You really need to take it all in as you go along. I find some of the drama, you know, isn't there, like, it's because it's not just documentary series.
No, it's not. We were just talking about this before we came to air. It is kind of a theme that runs through the Wonderly podcasts. They do have actors hired to play roles and stuff like that. And some of it is just pure cat-like. It's not good.
It's too dramatized.
But at the same time, I think Mike Corey, who presents this podcast, he's a very nice kind of tone to his voice. He's sensible. He's very, you know, he doesn't oversell it either. Do you know the way? So he kind of balances it out a little bit. But I have to admit, in the first episode, I did kind of think, am I actually going to be able to stick this for four episodes?
It's four in total.
Four in total.
So you're three quarters of the way.
Yeah, I'm on episode three. And I do agree. Like, there's times where we spoke about this with the canoe podcast as well. The
This isn't the first time they have the canoe. Apollo 13, I think, was that the very first one we did here in the Pod Squad? We had that as well. So they kind of do a lot of the news events, really, don't they?
Yeah, and they act them out as well as telling us what happened. And there's times where you go, okay, that's a little bit cringe. But but I think bear with it. Like, I found with this brand of podcast, like, they do really set the scene very well.
Yeah.
Like, there's times you nearly feel like you're in that mind yourself, the way the way they set it up for you. Especially there's one scene where they talk about the smell and you could almost smell it. So they're saying it's a very confined space. There's 33 men who haven't washed in a while. They're rationing out tins of tuna, a spoon of tuna every 48 hours. They're drinking dirty water, and like they describe the smell to you, and you feel like you're there.
You can nearly taste it. It's disgusting. It's absolutely vile.
The other thing I thought was interesting, and I suppose maybe, like, I don't know how much of this is drama and how much of it actually, you know, was genuinely played out in real life or would do in an event like this. But the politics, I suppose, that goes on, where you have the supervisor or the mine manager that's there. In the dig with them. And their approach to kind of rallying the troops and keeping the team together and the politics that
underground
comes,
you mean,
with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that was fascinating, I thought.
I thought so too, actually. And, you know, you do kind of like, because as Laura said, setting the scene so vividly, like, I kind of, that is my worst fear. Being stuck underground is my worst.
Confined space.
No,
my God.
Absolutely not. I think I would have absolutely lost my mind within the first 30 seconds, and how these men actually managed to, but not only keep each other sane, they were unsure whether people knew that they were alive for days, like weeks, and they're stuck underground and they're like, you know, they like in a tomb effectively. And, you know, I don't know how, but the democracy, shall we say, kind of was put aside. Urzura, who's the supervisor, takes off the white helmet, puts it down, and everyone has a vote. Yes. And that seems to kind of keep them all a little bit more.
For fear that they might have gone the wrong direction in an effort to try and get it out of ground.
They're also starving, sleep deprived, sleeping on soggy cardboard, not knowing if never knowing when their stuff is going to run out or when someone's going to get to them. So yeah, they do get a bit tetchy. Who's leading the operation underground is questioned a lot. There's two people kind of fighting to be the supervisors, but like in the end, they'll get over that. And like, you're going to find out now in episode 3, which is where I am at the moment. The scene where they realise they're being rescued is actually really emotional. Getting a bit choked up. Like, I won't spoil it for you, but there's a way of them realising, well, obviously the drill comes down, but they have to let the people who've sent the drill down
know that they are
down there. So they have to like damage a little bit of it so that it'll come back up and they'll see that there's marks on it. That's how they let them know. And they all row in together there. And that's kind of a symbolic thing that they all come back together knowing they're going to be saved. Now it takes a lot longer for them to actually be saved, and I don't know if they stay,
because I have wondered that, and don't obviously spoil it for anybody listening, but you know, well, I suppose there is a conclusion to it. We do know that much from the news event itself.
I mean, and the guys, the miners themselves, some of them are actually still working in the mining industry, when I finished this podcast, I was like, what happened to them afterwards?
Yeah.
So a couple of them have gone on to be producers in Hollywood and stuff like that. A couple have written books, but loads of them are still miners, and they're very proud miners, and it's a family tradition. It was passed down from their fathers, whatever. And they still do it to this day. But like, I don't know. I mean, it's such a remarkable kind of thing to like experience that it's the stuff of nightmares, as I said, but it's also the stuff of dreams coming true.
Well, it's really like, you know, one of those sort of bring you all together, bring the community together kind of stories as well. Will you stick with it, Laura?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, I'm in.
Well, you've only one more night to go.
Yeah,
you might
I'll get
finish
through
it. I suppose,
you better
stage.
Finish it as well.
I know, but should I have that many to try and finish at this point?
I actually listened to it twice.
Right, so you were that captivated by it.
I was captivated, and I was listening to it.
For a woman that wasn't sure at the start.
I was not sure in the start, but yeah, I actually listened to it again over the weekend.
Well, that's a serious testament if there ever
was one. 3 or 4 weeks ago, and then I knew I was coming in here today, so just for a little refresher, I listened to it again at the weekend while I was pottering around the house.
Okay.
Yeah, because you do have to really, really intently listen
the
first time.
You do,
I actually kept rewinding because I was missing names and vital people.
And I think as well, because you're not familiar with locations and names and stuff like that, you're kind of mind.
Yeah.
You do kind of have to concentrate a little bit to just kind of figure out who's who and what's what.
I was wrong. Sorry, Apollo 13 was part of the Against All Odds series, but the Canoe Con, that was part of a British scandal. But they're both Wondery podcasts from the producers there. How many stars are you going to give this?
I actually really enjoyed this one. Yeah. This is my favourite one that we've done to, that I've done on this today. Yeah. And I would definitely give it a 4.5 out of 5.
But I keep listening to it twice. I was at least expecting 5 out of 5 now.
Well,
I mean, what more do you want?
For improvement. Like, my teacher in school always used to say that you get 100% and she'd still tell your parents.
Listen to it twice and tell us you're going to deduct marks. Like,
no, what I would deduct marks for is the absolutely shambolic acting at the start.
It's just, you know, I got over it.
But at the start, I was like, I don't know if I'm sure about this.
Laura?
4 out of 5 just because I haven't finished it yet.
Yeah, I'm kind of with
episode 3 is really good, so I'm sure the next one will deliver it.
You're recommending it so far, and you obviously are as well.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, we'll have to come back to something else maybe from the Wondery Gang in the future. We're talking about Against All Odds, Chilean Mine Collapse. That's the pod squad. That's the podcast, our pod squad, I should say. Sarah Jane Tobin, who's the editor of rollercoaster.ie, and our own Laura Donnelly from the News Talk newsroom. Thanks a million, folks.
Thank you for joining us,
yeah, and reviewing this week's recommendation. We'll be back with another recommendation at this time next Tuesday.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk.
Today we have two very special guests on our program, introducing Lem and Lime.
Hello.
For Starry Lemon Lime Soda.
Thanks for having us.
What is Starry Lemon Lime Soda?
It's a crisp, clear burst of lemon lime flavor, and it's caffeine free.
Between us, one of you must be a little more important to Starry than the other. Who is it?
We're both important.
So we could just as easily be Starry Lime Lemon Soda.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Oh, I like it.
So you saying hip hop could be hop hip?
Works for me.
Starry Lemon Lime Soda. Starry hits different.